The title of my homily this evening is Twice Mine. Sometimes, maybe especially at the beginning of the year, it's good for us to think about the basics of our Catholic faith. The human race was created to live in communion with God, and in Him alone we find our true happiness. The fundamental purpose of our lives is stated very succinctly in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, where we read these words. The desire for God is written in the human heart because man is created by God and for God, and God never ceases to draw man to himself. Only in God will he find the truth and happiness he never stops searching for. And of course, here when it says man, it's supposed to be all of us. That we never seek or stop seeking that purpose, the deepest meaning of our lives. But as St. Thomas Aquinas said centuries ago, we have a tendency to look for it in the wrong places. In money, because we think that will ultimately satisfy us. In pleasure, because we think that will ultimately satisfy us. In power, because we think that will ultimately satisfy us. Or in honor. So Aquinas says that money, pleasure, power, and honor are the four things that we look to find that ultimate meaning. But we know from this story, part of the Sistine Chapel, Michelangelo's depiction of Adam and Eve being cast out of the Garden of Eden, that when we have disordered desire, when we put things that are in and of themselves good, there's nothing wrong with money, there's nothing wrong with pleasure, an appropriate kind of power, or even honor. But when they get a disproportionate place in our lives, they become disordered. And it leads to our being separated, not only from God, but from one another. And so what we want to affirm today is an understanding of what is our faith all about. And the whole emphasis of Catholicism is to reestablish our communion with God, to deepen that relationship, that here, whenever we come to Mass and the Holy Communion is celebrated in a particular way. Again, listen to what the Catechism says about this. The dignity of man rests above all on the fact that he is called to communion with God. That's the most important thing. What are we doing here on this Saturday afternoon? We are entering into communion with God. Now, I want to think about this with a story. Once there was a boy. He was a very gifted man or boy when it came to making sailboats. And he made, this is a story, I just found this online. I don't know if this is the boat he actually made. But in this story, for the sake of the story, here's the boat. He made this amazing sailboat. And then he took it down to the Elbow River, where the water isn't too deep. But on this particular day, a wind came up, and the sailboat went on down the river all the way to Elbow Drive, and he wasn't able to see it anymore. And another man found the boat, and he took it to a hobby shop on McLeod Trail, right by 50th Avenue. And it happened that this boy, of course, who loved hobbies, was in the store, and he saw his boat there. And the man that had found it had sold it to the man who owned the store, and he said, "That's my boat. That's the boat that I made. Can I get it back?" And the man at the store said, "No, I don't believe that is your boat." And so the boy said, "How much will it cost me to get my boat back? I want my boat." And the guy at the store was generous, and he said, "Well, $25. And so the boy said, "Okay, I'll be back." And he went back to his piggy bank, and he found out that he had $30, so he had $5 left over for something else, and he took the $25 in cash, because he didn't yet have a cell phone. And with that cash, he paid for the boat. And then this boy was so excited that he said these words, "Little boat of mine, you're twice mine now. I made you and I bought you. You are twice mine. I made you and I bought you." And that's what we celebrate in our faith. That's what communion, the Mass, is all about. Jesus saying, you are twice mine. I created you at the beginning. But then by my death on the cross, I redeemed you. I bought you so that by the blood of the Lamb of God, you can grow in this deepening relationship with me. Now, over the next number of weeks, 4 out of the next 6 Sundays, to be precise, I'm going to preach at all the Masses. Because as your pastor, I want to develop a theme over a number of weeks that needs me to be around. And as I do this, I want to show how this communion with God that I've been talking about has 3 particular dimensions. And they're tied very closely to this understanding of Jesus. I had this slide up here at this Mass last Saturday evening, that Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. And the prophetic ministry, the priestly ministry, and the kingly ministry are the way that we too share in communion with Jesus as we understand that we also are called to exercise this threefold ministry. Again, last week at this Mass, I had this quote from the baptismal liturgy that after a baby is baptized or even an adult is baptized, the person is then anointed with the oil of chrism, and these words are said by the priest or the deacon. Jesus now anoints you with the oil of chrism of salvation. As Christ was anointed prophet, priest, and king, so may you live always as a member of his body, sharing everlasting life. So 4 weeks from today, we will be thinking about the prophetic ministry of Jesus. This is the ministry of evangelization and teaching. 2 weeks from today, we will be thinking of the kingly ministry of Jesus. This is the ministry of service. And today, we're going to think a little bit about the priestly ministry, which is the ministry of worship. How appropriate that today's gospel from John chapter 1 has John the Baptist say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Catholics, where do we hear that? At every Mass. Every Mass. After the Lord is consecrated and he's on the altar, just before you come to receive him, the priest lifts up Jesus and says, behold the Lamb of God. And so here's the first thing that we want to recognize. Our worship is centered in John chapter 1. So to speak, every time we come to Mass, we are transported back to that scene. We are with John the Baptist. We are with those who are there and that they see Jesus, the Lamb of God. Now, there are a couple of things that St. John the Baptist says in this gospel that are a little peculiar. He says, after me comes a man who was ahead of me because he was before me. However, chronologically, John is older than Jesus. But when he says he came before me, of course, what St. John the Baptist is affirming is he is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Of course, he doesn't put it quite like that. But what he is saying is, I acknowledge that he is the Eternal One. And he, although born after me, comes before me, and I am showing you him. Now, there's another thing that this passage highlights, which again is a little peculiar. John the Baptist says, I didn't know him. Wait a minute. He, Jesus, was in mom's womb when you were in your mom's womb, and when Mary was with Elizabeth at a place called Ein Kerem, where you, John the Baptist, were born, you actually danced in the womb because you were in the presence of the Lord. But how is it that he can now say, I didn't know him? Well, here's what we believe. It was a community at that time called the Essenes. And it was a custom whereby parents would dedicate a young son to the Essene community and so dedicate him to the Lord. And so what is understood is that from a young age, St. John the Baptist became part of the Essene community. And he lived in the desert area about 40 kilometers north of Jerusalem, about 40 kilometers south of Nazareth. And so he did not grow up with his cousin Jesus. He did not know him. But what is striking is what he now says. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. Here's the point. There are many people who might think at some point in their life, well, I'm not quite sure what those Catholics are on about. It seems a little strange that they lift up a host, a wafer, and they say that this is God. Well, when people have that perception of the Eucharist, they don't know Jesus. But then what can happen in a person's life? I'm a case in point. I did not always believe in the real presence of Jesus. What happens is we come to an awareness, he's here. This is him, the Lamb of God. And then we come to know him. So I could say that since my mid-20s, I've known Jesus. But now I know Jesus in the Eucharist as a 62-year-old, where I didn't know him when I was in my late 40s. And this is a beautiful thing, because when we come into this deepening relationship with the Lord, we then say that, yes, worship is at the very center of my life. I want to give primacy to the Sunday Mass, because here is the place where I encounter Jesus and I share in his priestly work. As I move to the conclusion of this homily, I want to make a connection now between what happens in our worship here and how is that to influence the way we live our lives day by day. We all know that every day of our lives in this fallen world, they are filled with struggles and hardships. Sometimes they're big, sometimes they're little. But these hardships can actually become instruments of salvation. By offering himself on the cross, Jesus reconciled sinners to God because he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Whenever we join with Jesus in the worship of the Mass, we share in this offering. And then what we do is we offer our crosses to him. When we offer our daily sufferings to God in prayer, they actually can become channels of grace for the conversion and the sanctification of the world, which is a pretty mind-boggling thing to think of. Through your self-offering, in your suffering, in a way that you will only understand in eternity, you are cooperating with the sanctification and the salvation of the world. And don't just take my word for it. Take his word. And this hymn is Pope Benedict XVI, who talked about our sufferings in this way. Any of you who are a little older might have heard your grandmother say, just offer it up. That's what he's talking about here. There used to be a form of devotion that included the idea of offering up the minor daily hardships that continually strike at us like irritating jabs, therefore giving them meaning. And isn't that true? Aren't the daily hardships like that? These jabs, they're irritating. They bug us. Listen to what he goes on to say next. Those who did so were convinced that they could insert their little annoyances in Christ's great compassion so that they somehow become part of the treasury of compassion so greatly needed by the human race. Let me pause there for a second. So at the Mass, when we say, behold the Lamb of God, here is the one who is compassionate and filled with compassion. And when we understand that our worship is to join with this compassion, he, Pope Benedict, concludes with these words. In this way, even the small inconveniences of daily life could acquire meaning and contribute to the economy and good, contribute to the economy of good and of human love. What a profound thing. It doesn't look like this, does it? I mean, here we are just gathered, singing some songs, listening to a bald guy. But something of great significance is going on here, that we're entering into this relationship, into this reality. So, in conclusion, the boy with his lost boat was inconvenienced until he found it again, and it was even more important to him because it was now twice his. As we work through our pains and sufferings, those things that inconvenience us, it can lead us into that deepening place of understanding who we are and who Jesus is, And we can be inspired to worship him this Saturday and every Saturday and other times during the week as well when we worship him in the Mass. For here's the beautiful thing. At the end of the day, when we see Jesus in the Eucharist, behold the Lamb of God, he says to you and to me, you are twice mine.